WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
There are a few people who saw Bob Dylan on this year's Grammys who'd want to sound the way he does now, but rock and roll historian Ed Ward remembers a time when almost everyone wanted to sound like Dylan.
There was so much media noise on May 24th when Bob Dylan turned 50 that I didn't see much reason to add to it. After all, what's left to say about a guy who's inspired a shelf full of books already? But I did think back to the moment when the success of his weird 6-minute-long single, Like a Rolling Stone, caught the record business by surprise. Was this a trend? If so, who would be the next Dylan? The same question had been bumping around in folky circles for years. Dylan's arrival in New York early in the 60s had spawned a rash of young guitar strummers intent on proving that imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. David Blue, Eric Anderson, Phil Oakes, and dozens of others chased Dylan's shadow while they grew into their own styles. And then, of course, there'd been Donovan. For a glimpse of what Bob Dylan thought of him, I recommend the film Don't Look Back. But rock and rollers, they weren't into mere imitation. They were into Xeroxing. To this day, Mouse of Mouse in the Trap swears that the sound of Public Execution was a fluke, that since he and the band were way out in Tyler, Texas, they'd never heard of Bob Dylan. Some of us find this position just a bit disingenuous. Mouse in the Traps were just the most blatant. Elsewhere in Texas, Huey P. Moe, the canny producer who'd come up with the Sir Douglas Quintet as his answer to the Beatles, found a group called the Hombres. Their reasoning was that it was the abstract lyrics the kids liked.
No parking by the sewer sign, hot dog, my razor broke, water dripping up the spout, but I don't care, let it all hang out. Hanging from a pine tree by my knees, sunshine through the shade, nobody knows what it's all about. It's too much, man, let it all hang out.
The record company called it Let It Out. The real title was perhaps a bit spicy for the public, and it got the Hombres a top 20 hit before they faded away. Texas wasn't the only place people were trying to figure out the Dylan mystique. Since everybody from Manfred Mann to the Byrds was doing well by recording Dylan's old songs, a New York band, the Blues Project, decided they'd look back into folk history and record a number by one of the previous new Dylans, Eric Anderson.
Take me to the night on tipping topsy-turvy, turning upside down. Hold me close and whisper what you wish, for there is no one here around. Oh, you can sing song me sweet smiles, regardless of the city's careless frown. Colors fade blazing into petal sprays of violets of dawn.
It probably wouldn't have hit even if they had tuned the guitar. And out in Hollywood, a former Phil Spector sideman, a guy who'd actually hung out with Dylan, put in his 2 cents.
About the clothes I wear. Why get their kicks from
Laugh at me, Sonny Bono said with selfless compassion, and I'll pray for you. No doubt, the discovery that they had a god in common with Sonny Bono drove many a 60s youngster into the arms of an alien oriental religion. Eventually, of course, Bob Dylan proved that his record company's advertising slogan, "Nobody sings Dylan like Dylan," was right on the money. Then he had his motorcycle accident and vanished for a while, and a whole slew of new Dylans, people like Loudon Wainwright III and George Gurdes, appeared. They're still doing it today. I think Roger Manning is a swell candidate for Dylanhood. But the sound that Bob Dylan gave us lived on for many a year, inspiring bands on both sides of the Atlantic who eventually decided to sound like themselves, which was a lot easier than figuring out what he would sound like next.
Ed Ward writes for the Austin Chronicle,